This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
You know, I sometimes wonder if football fans prefer transfer rumours to matches themselves. There's certainly no shortage of them at this time of year, and well, do you know, some of them actually come to reality and materialise. Over £600 million has been spent in the Premier League already. We're not even into August, not even close. But who's enjoyed the best summer window so far on the early business? Give me the name of a club.
I'm going to go for Bournemouth.
Bournemouth. That's a left field choice.
It is a left field choice, but if you think about the business they've done, they've made four signings, good mix of youth and experience, and all four players are going to go potentially straight into the starting 11. In terms of the number of which squad has which manager has gone out and bought players that are going to move them on the most significantly, I think they've done that kind of business earlier. And I mean, Everton have stolen all the headlines with the amount of money the cheat codes have activated to get all these transfers across the
They've gone into the editor and given themselves a massive budget.
Yep. I think that they're not going to. It's not an obvious improvement in what they already have. It's smart business that they look to have done, but it doesn't look like it necessarily a huge step forward. Whereas I think Bournemouth have signed experience of the Premier League and some really exciting young players, and they were already a decent squad anyway.
Stefan?
Yeah, well, I was just going through like the kind of like lists today. I think the one that probably stood out for me the most, aside from maybe Tottenham, just because they've managed to hold on to their best player so far. We can talk about Kyle Walker later, but I don't think he's a huge miss. But I actually think Arsenal have actually had a really like clean cut transfer window so far. They obviously had Kolasinac coming in a free contract. They did really good job signing him up. I mean, a lot of teams in Italy wanted him, for example. Specifically maybe Juventus actually. He's a fantastic left back, he's going to do amazing in the Premier League, and they've obviously got Lacazette as well, who's an outstanding striker. And I mean, there's still so far to go. Someone like Sanchez might leave, or Mesut Ozil, as we spoke about a few weeks ago. I'd still like to see them maybe sign a central defender, but I mean, if they can bring in a defender, then I'd say, you know, perfect window for them so
far. I was going to mention Arsenal. They've got Lacazette, obviously. Thomas Lemar from Monaco seems to be another player they're going for, but I was going to make the point that for them, I think actually clearing out that squad is almost as important as who they bring in. And I was reading this morning that they're going to get a collective $45 million for I think Chesney's off to Juventus, Callum Chambers, and there was one at Carl Jenkinson as well. So if they can get rid of those three players and clear a bit of space, I think that's almost as important. One club where there hasn't been a great deal of transfer activity so far, I think they've only made two signings, is Liverpool. Should their fans be worried that maybe they haven't signed as many as some of their rivals have?
I mean, at this stage of the season, it's not a massive worry. And the signings they have made look to be pretty shrewd, and look, you can see exactly where they're going to fit in.
What about centre back? They've quite famously made a bit of a hash of this pursuit of Virgil van Dijk.
I mean, I don't think it's a massive area of concern, other than potentially litigious. other than the courts of law, I don't think it's a massive area of concern, because they do still have plenty of time, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if that deal still ends up going through one way or another. And you know, they'll bring in a centre back in the next couple of weeks. But eyebrows being raised, it looked like there were fairly obvious areas they needed to improve, and they haven't done it yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think looking at their window so far, they seem to have gone for, and maybe it's not, perhaps not that different in recent years, but it's like almost the opposite of what they were like under Rafa Benitez, where they just signed almost every single player from Spain they possibly could and hoped, you know, something would stick. This season, at least this summer, there seems to be a really, you know, proper effort to go for quality over quantity. Van Dijk, you know, obviously they've got Salah, and obviously Naby Keita from RB Leipzig is one that they're absolutely furiously, desperately trying to sign. Leipzig are having absolutely none of it, but apparently, if the reports are believed to be true, they just keep going back and back for more offers, and they could end up spending a stupendous amount of money on them. And, you know, that's specific talent in specific parts of the team, which, I mean, that's the smart way to go about it. You just mentioned the stupid money that's been spent, but if they can if they can get two or three good players instead of like 15 average ones.
Yeah, well, I was going back to look at actually last summer, and the two teams that finished top of the Premier League last season, Chelsea and Spurs, and relating this to Liverpool and their perceived lack of activity. But last summer, Chelsea and Spurs were two clubs that were perceived to have not done a lot of business, and the continuity there actually seemed to stand them in good stead. I'm going to dot quite a bit around between different clubs here. So going to the other side of the city, Everton, we touched on them. They've not done a Liverpool. They've brought in rather quite a few players. How good are the players they've brought in? Where will it lift them in the Premier League table, considering they were already kind of on that precipice of the top four? Is it good enough to get them up into that top four? For me, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Shinawatra's Man City. Good players, decent players, but not necessarily good enough to get them and break through that glass ceiling.
Is Wayne Rooney, Robinho in that comparison?
Maybe, yeah.
There's probably quite a lot of similarities there. Yeah, I think the players they have signed, Klaassen's obviously the one that stands out for me, as well as Wayne Rooney, who I was quite optimistic about on the show a few weeks ago. Mm. I mean, I think they've got a fantastic coach there. One of the best coaches in the Premier League, in my opinion, when he's allowed to do what he wants to do. And he's building a squad, and I don't think you'll have many Everton fans complaining about it. We might actually even see Ross Barkley also leaving. You know, they've already made about 80, 90 million pounds in sales.
Well,
already.
That's the thing. If they allow Barkley to leave, and obviously Lukaku's already gone, does that kind of dampen the summer they've had? I mean, those are obviously two excellent players. I think Lukaku's a little bit better than Barkley, but two key players nonetheless. Is that kind of offset it?
I mean, a little. I think there is... One of my friends made an interesting point about Everton a couple of weeks ago, saying that when they signed Pickford, it was like, we've made a £30 million signing, and then you know, signed Keane, and it's almost another £30 million signing, and now it's getting to the stage where it's like, no, stop, guys. You know, they were like, flash, you know, finally they were able to compete financially after years of not being able to do it, and now it's a little like, let's win it. I mean... £45 million for Gylfi Sigurdsson seems a little OTT if that happens. But I mean, to go back to the original point, if they bring in the players that they're being linked with, and you know the players that they already have, they do seem to, if not have a like-for-like replacements for the players that are outgoing or potentially outgoing, but they also seem to have a more well-rounded squad than they did this time last year. So I don't think it'd be a huge concern if they could shift them and, you know, they potentially balance the books.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, just quickly, like, in terms of Ross Barkley and Lukaku, these are two players, specifically Lukaku, the fans have kind of been expecting to leave for quite some time. Barkley is a player who, when you look at the players they've brought in, might not even make it into the squad next season. So to get a decent wage for him, or a decent offer for him, I think most Everton fans would be quite happy with
and,
it.
And Sigurdsson as well, they seem to be dead set on getting Sigurdsson for... £50 million, more than Zidane. What the hell? That brings us nicely onto
more than James Rodriguez as well.
Yeah, that brings us nicely onto another modern Premier League transfer. I'm going to call it Kyle Walker. I think he went for it's £50 million plus £6 million in add-ons, a £56 million deal. The most expensive defender in history, I think, or in Premier League history, certainly. Yeah. Yeah. Stefan, I saw you tweeting about this a couple of days ago, comparing it to, I think it was Bayern Munich's transfers. Yeah. Fair to say you don't think Kyle Walker's worth £56 million?
No, not quite. You know what's kind of worried me about this more than anything else, and I might get some stick for this, the fact that he went for Dani Alves in the first place. It was as if, like, we need a right-back, let's go for that 35-year-old...
he's still really good.
Yeah, okay. The guy who's just been chucked at Juventus for causing all sorts of havoc, let's try and get him to play in the most physical league in the world. You know, fair enough, Juventus Champions League final, blah, blah, blah. But it's still a risk, in my opinion, right? They just got rid of Zabaleta to bring Dani Alves in, okay? Can't get him, so like, oh, let's just sign the really obvious guy for way too... I mean... Surely, Man City fans probably stopped caring about how much money they spent a long time ago, but you'd think when you bring someone like Pep Guardiola into the club, you'd think there'd be a bit more nuance about who they're signing. It seems they're transferring, not just Kyle Walker, but there's also Bernardo Silva, they got Eduardo from Benfica. It's like, going back to the Football Manager comparison, it's like when you're 15 and you don't really know how to sign, so you just like set filter to, you know, potential or top quality, and you sign the top five players.
I think it is kind of Pep Guardiola. I wouldn't say it's a bit dramatic to say dismantling his legacy, but it's kind of he is erasing his reputation a little bit in that he's just doing what everyone else is doing. I'm not really holding that against him per se. It's not the revolutionary coach we were led to believe. You know, he's not bringing players through from the youth system. I did read it was like a Daily Mash style article saying that it's going to be the most tactically adept transfer spree in history from Pep Guardiola. He's given himself a lot of work to do this summer. They got rid of essentially every fullback. Has he given himself a bit too much work to do? I mean, they're expected to challenge and win the Premier League title this season, and he's got to build particularly a defence from scratch.
Yeah, I'm being a bit like what you said though with Arsenal. I think part of their part of the rebuilding job there is that he's had to thin that squad down, because it was such an overblown squad. You know, there were so many players that had been brought in, and you know, even from 2 or 3 years ago, players that just weren't even getting in the match day squads that cost 15, 20 odd million pounds.
Certainly in defence as well. Yeah. I think that I saw stat Man City have got 5 of the 8 most expensive defenders in history.
Exactly. I mean, it is crazy. And so he did need to do that. You know, defence is the hardest position to build a unit quickly. So they are going to struggle with that. If they don't hit the ground running, you know, that'll be a real area of concern for them. They did need to go out and make signings. I'm absolutely baffled by Kyle Walker being the most expensive defender in history. The whole thing is such short termism, I think.
Daniel Levy, he knows how to get a fee out of a club.
Yeah, he certainly does. But
at what point are these people, Manchester City, thinking we need a right back, and they only go as far as bloody London? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's the whole world of right backs out there. I know full backs are one of the most difficult positions to actually master in football, and it's one of the most important. But
and there's not many great full backs at the moment in football. They're quite rare.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the interesting thing as well, just on the right back, Pep Guardiola famously at Bayern Munich tinkered with his full backs to no end, to the point actually where Bayern Munich fans are getting quite fed up with it. Actually, Philipp Lahm at centre mid, Joshua Kimmich at right back, Alaba, blah blah blah. So to sign Kyle Walker, I'm quite intrigued to see if he might end up sticking him centre mid after all his trouble.
Moving on again to another club on the other side of Manchester United. Their summer seems to have been a summer of improvisation. Antoine Griezmann was the number one target. They were thwarted by Atletico's transfer ban. They then went and targeted Alvaro Morata, and then didn't get him, went for Lukaku instead. So, and they've brought in Victor Lindelof, a centre-back. So how do you evaluate the business Manchester United have done?
Just a shrug, really, in my opinion. And Lukaku, I mean, fine. You know, like you said, they wanted
score goals, Lukaku, but the problem for
but they
Lukaku
wanted Griezmann, and you get Lukaku.
Yeah, they're completely different strikers. What I would say about that is I think maybe they will go for Griezmann in the future. You can play the two of those together. But one of the problems with Manchester United for me last season was that they're very boring to watch in a lot of games. I suppose that's Mourinho, but they lumped the ball up to Zlatan, and there was a hint going into this summer that Mourinho actually wanted to change that. He was going for a Griezmann, a very dynamic striker. Even Alvaro Morata, I've watched him at Real Madrid. He's not a target man by any sorts. He likes to get running towards goal. And then they've gone for Lukaku, who will score probably over 25 goals next season, but he is pretty much a Zlatan replacement, and I think that's a bit of a concern for Manchester United. So is Lukaku enough to make them title challengers? Is he an upgrade on Zlatan at all?
Is he? I mean, in terms of the range of what he can do, I don't necessarily think he's an upgrade at all. In the way that they will want to play, and the fact that he's got, you know, 10 years of football ahead of him, then I think that he probably is an upgrade. I think he's much, you can see how he fits a Mourinho style a bit more, and potentially playing with, you know, a lot more pace up front towards the end of last season did, like you say, this kind of hint at what Mourinho might want to do. And one of the things Lukaku can do, you know, he plays with his back to goal, he holds up the ball really well, but he's also very, very quick. I'm not quite sure that he was what was needed in that squad, but yeah.
Seems like a bit of a case of just Mourinho getting a striker in, just for the sake of getting a striker in. And actually, there's a case to be made. I think Lukaku's more of a Mourinho striker, and Morata is more of a Conte striker, and he might go to Chelsea. We've not talked about the champions yet. They seem to have been thwarted again in a lot of moves. Leonardo Bonucci seemed to be their number one target. He's gone to Milan, who are doing a super Everton.
The Everton of Italy, of Serie A, as they're often called.
That well-known nickname. Again, Chelsea have struggled, much like Liverpool, with some transfers. Only two players brought in. They need a striker, Diego Costa. I saw on Instagram's partying away in an Atletico shirt in Spain. So I think he might be going there. What business do they need to do? And I know it's still very early in the window, but are there concerns for them?
I think what I'm really intrigued by is the fact that we've now seen Chelsea truly go full circle, where they're now being pipped to transfers by, I mean, Man United are always a club of lots of money, but, you know, if you look at the balance of payments they've made in this window, they've actually run at a profit, I think, actually. Mm. It's plus 1.5 million or something. They've got that, famously, they've got a whole reserve. Well, of course, and that's the thing. I think that's what I find so fascinating, that, you know, the Chelsea of old, when, for example, Mourinho would first rocked up, would have quite happily thrown cash and made sure they got Bonucci, made sure they got Lukaku. Now they're talking about Sergio Aguero. Manchester City responded.
Seems to be a bit scattergun. Aubameyang as well has been linked. Yep. So
it strikes me as that I wouldn't be surprised if Conte is quite frustrated at the fact that you know, maybe he was well aware of this when he joined the club, but I don't think they have the same influence, or they have that same rugged approach to the transfer window that they used to have, where they maybe have to wait till the super clubs buy who they want and then they go in and pick up what's left.
I mean, the one thing I would say with Conte is he could quite easily be playing a very patient game. He's one of the few managers that you can see being like, Nick, fair enough, look, we will get who we want when we want them. Mm. And also, like, champing at the bit and being frustrated. Most managers, I think, would probably be in the latter. But he does seem to be quite relaxed about where they are. And, you know, they've got a month to get business done, which is an awful long time. An awful lot of clubs are only just back.
Yeah, a month still to go. 600 million already spent. It's going to hit a billion, isn't it?
It's definitely
another prudent summer in the Premier League.
Yeah. I can already see the yellow ties of Sky Sports News.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.